All right, Alexander, let's revisit Italy and some new polling numbers. And in order to get an idea as to what's going on in Italy, perhaps you want to brief us as to the polling numbers before and the latest numbers that have come out. And basically, in a nutshell, what it's showing is that the Brothers Party is surging. And I think we called the Salvini situation correctly. I don't know if our viewers remember, but I'm sure you do. We did many videos with regards to Salvini and some decisions that he made that we thought could potentially hurt his popularity. And I think it's starting to reflect that right now. We're not saying that he's completely slipped, but definitely he has ceded ground to the brothers. And so you've gone from I would categorize Salvini as a center right to now a much more right party. So I guess it didn't go exactly as the globalists planned when they went after Salvini, because instead of getting rid of Salvini and having people, go move more center or neoliberal center left, they've actually now gone further right. But anyway, it's interesting numbers, interesting situation in Italy, and once again, it shows that people are not going to back the globalist ideology.
Absolutely, and this is exactly the story about Italy, because we did call it exactly right. I would be a little bit more dramatic and rather more critical of Salvini than you have just been. Salvini made a disastrous decision last year, which is that he agreed to enter into this coalition government being put together and led by Mario Draghi. Mario Draghi is the absolute epitome in Italy of globalist integrationist sentiment. After all, he was the head of the European Central Bank. He is Mr. Euro.
Mr.
He is
Euro.
the person who stands for the entire system. For
At all
Salvini,
costs.
at all costs,
That's
for
his famous
people like,
phrase, yeah.
absolutely, absolutely, for Salvini to go in and enter into coalition with him was, I think, not just a mistake, it was a disastrous mistake. And where his party, the League, was polling well over 30%, before, it's now slipped back to around 21, 22%. And to the right of Salvini, there is this right-wing party, the Brothers of Italy. It gets its name, by the way, from the first words of the Italian national anthem, which I'm not going to try and sing, but it's a nationalist, right-wing, patriotic, Catholic party, pro-family, pro all the things. Of course, that means that it is classified by many people as, with the F word they use to classify parties like that, or I've seen it referred to as a post F party. People know what I'm talking about. Anyway, because it's all of those things, it's all of the things that Salvini used to appear that he was. A lot of people who are very angry with Salvini and who see this party, which, though allied to Salvini, had insisted on remaining outside this coalition and became, in effect, the main opposition. Its poll rating is rising. And it is now at just under 20% of the vote. This is, an enormous surge from single figures. And it has overtaken, in the very latest polling, the Democratic Party of Italy, which is the big mainstream left of centre party that has dominated Italian politics for the last 30 years, and which is, by the way, the inheritor of the traditions and organisation of the former Italian Communist Party, the party of Gramsci, Togliatti, Berlinguer, and those sort of people. So the Brothers are now the second biggest party in Italy after Salvini's party, which remains just ahead, and the Democratic Party has been pushed into third place. So, as you say, things have not turned out as the globalist, integrationist, Europeanists imagined. And what is more, precisely because the brothers are rising, that the effect of that is that it is pushing Salvini into taking more right-wing positions. So he's becoming more critical of Draghi and of the and of Draghi's government, of which, however, he remains a part. And it's debatable how long he's going to remain, continue to be in that government and whether or not he decides to leave. Draghi himself, by the way, is said to be aiming to become Italian president next year. In other words, to leave the premiership and take over as president of Italy, which is this extremely powerful position, actually, but one which sets you above factions and is exactly the kind of position which a functionary like Draghi would love to have. So there you go. A huge mistake by Salvini. An indication of the true feelings of Italians and an indication of where the drift of Italian politics and Italian sentiment is going.
Yeah, Salvini's, of course, they always get promoted up. All these guys, they always get promoted up. No matter how bad they are, they always get promoted up. Draghi, big surprise, president of Italy. Anyway, Alexander, here's a quote from the Reuters article that we were discussing and you sent over to me. I think this quote pretty much sums up everything. And keep in mind, Reuters is obviously not very not very happy with the outcome in Italy, that's for sure. So they say the media savvy Meloni, who's the leader now, who's the leader of the Brothers Party, the media savvy Meloni has made life tough for Salvini since he hooked up with Draghi, denouncing government actions unpopular with rightist voters and portraying herself as the sole defender of conservative values. So there you have it. The globalists, the neo-libs, they're freaking out. They are freaking out.
They are freaking out. And again, I have to say something, actually. I mean, I just sometimes wonder how well they understand some of these countries. I mean, I know Italy reasonably well. After all, it's part of our neighbourhood, if you like. I mean, that there would be strong Catholic, pro-family, pro-regional, patriotic sentiment in a place like Italy. It's completely unsurprising. If you know Italy at all, I mean, that's the kind of place it is. I mean, to imagine that you can sort of come along and impose all these integrationist ideas and with all the identity ideas that go with it on a place like Italy and not get a reaction. It's just unreal. I mean, you know, Italy isn't California. I mean, that's all I'm going to say about this. I mean, I don't want to push this too far. So, of course, the brothers are rising because more and more people in Italy, including many young people, by the way, are migrating, are moving towards them politically because they say they speak for us. And on top of that, and transcending everything, there is the deeper economic malaise in which has had Italy in its grip for over 20 years now, all the way back to the creation of the euro, which Draghi embodies. I mean, he is the reason why Italy is in this malaise. The moment Italy started to become involved in the whole process of economic monetary union, its economy began to sputter to a stop, and it's now frozen. Whereas previously, in the 50s and 60s and 70s, despite all the political chaos, all the things that were going on, Italy's economy was actually growing quite fast and living standards were rising. And there were jobs for young people and young people felt they had a future. So all that's come to a stop. Draghi embodies it. And that's the person that Salvini wants to go into alliance with. No wonder his support is draining away. Given that he is a clever man, I wonder how on earth he made a mistake like that.
Yeah, well, I would say the writing's on the wall for Salvini. Either he ditches Draghi and gets back to his political roots and salvages himself and his party's standing, or he stays with Draghi and, I believe, the Brothers Party will continue to rise and will pretty much take over a good chunk of Lego's base. I mean, that's the way it's trending at this moment. This is a fight. This is a fight for Italy, to save Italy. I mean, we have to be clear. It's a fight to save Italy. You said 20 years, they've just been completely gutted
No.
by the European Union and by
Yes.
austerity.
Yes.
Now the lockdowns and all of these things that have happened. Let's not forget that Italy was ground zero when all of this broke out in Europe, and they paid a very heavy price. It's a fight for Italy, and if Salvini's not
Personally.
ready to take on that fight, and Meloni has to do it by herself, then so be it. I think
Oh,
the Italian
absolutely.
people will support her.
I mean the distance now between the two, between Salvini and the brothers is about 1 or 2%. I mean, and bear in mind the momentum is all behind Meloni and the brothers. So, you know, it's becoming very tight. And Salvini has only himself to blame. He should have realised this. I don't understand why he did it. But of course, Italy's a complicated country. Politics there has an extraordinary capacity for complexity. You know, one shouldn't retreat into stereotypes. But when people talk about intrigue and Italy, I'm afraid there is truth in the claim that the two go together. I mean, this is the land of the Borgias and all that. But having said that, whatever deals were done between Salvini and Draghi and all those people behind the scenes, it's not turned out well for him at all, and he should have known better. He needs to pull out of this coalition fast, get back in harness with the brothers, and move forward and take over Italy, which it's there for him to take.
Well, let's explore that real quick. Why did Salvini do it? Why did he align with Draghi? Was it the never-ending prosecution that was going after him, the never-ending threat of imprisoning him? Were they threatening more things against him? Why do you think he did it? Because I think we could learn a lot from Salvini and what happened to him, and perhaps it would provide some warnings to someone say like Le Pen, who's also rising, and many people
Yes.
fear she may fall into the same trap of giving a little of meeting say the Draghis and the globalists and all these people halfway. It's political suicide for these people if they do that.
Absolutely. I think that's exactly what happened. I think he came under enormous pressure from all these investigations, all these highly politicized prosecutions that were launched against him. And I think he said to himself, if I go into coalition with Draghi for a short time, that would get the judiciary, which is very politicized in Italy, off my back. And then I can move back into the mainstream, you know, back into leadership, and I can move forward. But of course, the point is that by doing that, he betrayed his electorate, or at least his electorate saw him as betraying them. And yes, sometimes you do come under enormous pressure as a leader, and especially given the kind of people you're up against. Let's be straightforward about this. I mean, we've discussed the the European complex and what it's like. I mean, these
Cult.
people take
Cult.
absolutely well. These people take no prisoners. Let's put it like that. So, I mean, you know, I understand the enormous pressures he was under, but sometimes, if you're going to be a leader and you're going to come up against people like that, you have to accept that there are consequences. And I think if he'd taken on his opponents head on, faced down all these prosecutions, fought back against the judiciary, as other Italian leaders have done in the past, it would have been better for him. So, yes, I understand the pressures he was under, but I also have to say, I still think he made a mistake.
Do you think anything that Salvini has now gone through, and the fact that his numbers have dropped, do you think that people like Le Pen are looking at this and saying, learning a lesson? Not even saying, do you think they're learning a lesson from Salvini's rise and fall? Now, I don't want to say a fall, but his rise and his stumble. It looks like it's not a complete fall yet, but if he continues
No.
with Draghi, it will be a fall.
It could be. Well, I hope so. I mean, I think people like Le Pen do need to learn lessons from this because, frankly, given that it's the same people that she's up against in France as the people that Salvini was up against in Italy, if she makes the same kind of mistakes that he made, she will end up going the same way as he has. The only thing I would say about Le Pen is that she's been around in politics for much longer than Salvini has. She's perhaps a more experienced politician than he is. And I get the sense that she's perhaps a rather cannier and more self-confident politician. I mean, she's obviously already faced the same kind of judicial harassment, but up to now, she's been able to take it on, and face it down, which it seems as if Salvini was intimidated by. But I certainly hope she does learn from this, because she should. I mean, you know, anybody who goes up against the combine of Brussels has to be prepared for that, be it Salvini in Italy, Kurz in Austria, Le Pen in Germany, whoever and wherever, because you're going to find the same machinery used against you wherever you are.
Yeah, you know, we did a video on Switzerland and how Switzerland walked away. And I always wonder what makes some leaders able to withstand the aggressive nature of Europe and the Europeans in the EU, technocrats and autocrats in Brussels, and why other leaders fall. I'll just give you some quick examples. We saw Tsipras fold in literally a day. I mean, literally 24 hours he was talking tough, and then he went to Brussels, and I mean, I don't know what they did to the guy. I really do not know, but boy, they must have put the fear of God into him. You know, we've seen, for example, Kurz, it took him a little bit longer, but he eventually started to fall back in line with the globalists. We've documented Salvini, but then we've seen the other side of the coin. We see people like Orban. Le Pen is holding up very well. Nigel Farage, 20 years, 25 years, he was in the belly of the beast, just hammering it out with them, and they couldn't intimidate him. What do you think makes some leaders just go right at Europe and beat them back, and other leaders just completely fall apart?
Well, I mean, I think some people are made of different stuff, sterner stuff, as we say in Britain, than others. I mean, one has to say that. But it's also partly a reflection of their societies. I mean, France is a very old country, one of the oldest countries in Europe. It has a very strong coherence and a very strong political tradition. And French society can be pretty solid. England is the same. So, in a different way, is Hungary. Whereas Italy is a country that only really emerged as a country in the middle of the 19th century. The political class there is much more intertwined in regional politics. Things are not stable and solid in Italy, perhaps, as they are in a country. And Greece is the same, exactly. So, I mean, you know, there is that. If it's an old, well-established country with strong political traditions, then, of course, it's much more able to endure. Switzerland is a strong country. It has been around for centuries. Broke away from the Habsburgs, way back in the Middle Ages with William Tell and all that. And, of course, it controls its own courts. It controls its own currency. It has very strong local democracy. The cantons in some places operate with systems of direct democracy. It's more like France and Britain, England, Britain, than it is like Italy and Greece. So that's, I think, partly the difference. But it does also depend a lot on the personality of the leader. I mean, Hungary is, you could say, one of the weaker countries. It's small. It's been, you know, absorbed in empires. It was part of the Habsburg Empire. It was part of the Soviet bloc. But in Orban, it had a strong leader who was able to sort of break with all of that, and who was able to face down the opposition in the way that Orban has done. So, you know, personality counts for a lot. The solidity of the society counts for a lot also.
Yeah, I guess that would explain Austria as well, which is very much conflicted. I mean, you can see that they're fighting to stay out of the clutches of Europe on the one hand, but on the other hand, you could see that there's a lot of pull into Europe and into the orbit of Germany as well. I mean, you definitely see that they're fighting it, but it's going to be a battle. Same for Poland. Poland's fighting it as well, but It's going to be a
battle.
Again,
it's about, absolutely, exactly, exactly. So you know, I mean, those are the reasons, at least, I think, in my opinion. Doesn't change the fact Salvini made, in my opinion, a big mistake. I mean, things were crystallising in Italy and consolidating around him. And then he made a whole series of missteps, and he's now has the brothers almost up with him. If they overtake him and start to build up a lead over him, then I think he's in serious political trouble. You could start to see a huge switch of support from him to them. At the moment, he's just holding ahead, but it's, you know, he's living dangerously.
Brothers' Party is going to be the leading party in Italy. How about that?
Well, indeed.
Who would indeed have called
it? Well, who would indeed? The integrationists and the, you know, the Washington Posters and Guardianistas will go absolutely bananas. But there it is. They are the creators of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Meloni's going to give them hell if she gets the power. She's going to give them hell. I could see it. She's tough.
Absolutely. Oh, she is. Yeah, I agree with that, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it there. Guys, go to Odyssey, go to BitChute, check us out on Super U, and visit our locals page. Go to the Durant shop, pick up some merch, 10% off when you use the code REALNEWS, t-shirts, mugs, all kinds of great stuff. Take care. ¶¶